Hello, my name's Roger Watson, and welcome to the Jan podcast of 28th of May 2019. This is Roger Watson, the Editor-in-Chief of the Journal of Advanced Nursing. Medical Journals, is Milton Packer crying wolf? This is an article from MedPage Today, and it was subtitled Journal Editor Defends the Impact Factor, and it was published by me on the 29th of April 2019 in response to a piece by another author. Academic publishing is as bad as Milton Packer says. In a recent blog post, Medical Journals, a sluggish form of Twitter, Packer exposes the many flaws of the Journal Impact Factor, the GIF, little of which is new information, but he takes the argument further, comparing journals with Twitter and creating some collateral damage in the process. Journal editors are forced into taking articles that are flawed, meta-analysis and real-world evidence are denigrated, and we appear to be on the brink of intellectual catastrophe if things don't change. But are all medical journals that bad, and can they change? It's telling that, like so many who demolish the GIF, Packer proposes no alternative. David Cahoon, a long-standing GIF critic and ad hominem critic of Eugene Garfield, and no stranger to Twitter himself, has also failed to propose an alternative. This is hardly surprising, as it's almost impossible to formulate one that doesn't suffer criticism at the hands of someone who subsequently feels disadvantaged. Without an alternative, and to some extent without the use of citation analysis, who's to decide what is best in science and between journals? I'm sure that the most fervent critics of the GIF know, and I assume it involves them telling the rest of us what is best in our fields. I'm happy to be told, but I would also want to know on what basis they made their decisions. Moreover, as I will cover, the fact that a journal has an impact factor is alone a marker of quality, provided that the impact factor is produced by Clarivate, the company now curating the citation metrics. In an age when the publishing landscape is becoming obscured by many low-quality, bogus, and predatory journals, this is not a good time to be questioning the impact factor. The GIF is flawed, only if it's used for the wrong purposes. Anyone in the know, or who cares to probe, knows the old chestnuts about the GIF. For example, it's contributed to by only a minority of articles in any journal, most articles are not cited, and the impact factor tells us nothing about the quality or veracity of any article in a journal, and it does not really measure much about the quality of the journal. Anyone making any use of impact factor for other than what it tells us, which is that a journal has attracted, and usually continues to attract, a few highly cited articles, is either misled or a fool. But is the measure completely meaningless or completely useless? I think it's neither of these. The precise calculation of the impact factor is based on an arbitrary concept developed by Eugene Garfield. Why the measure should focus on citations in the reporting year to articles published in the preceding two-year window, to the exclusion of citations to articles published from January to December of the reporting year, is not clear. The citations are presented relative to the number of articles in the journal considered suitable to include in the index, meaning that the impact factor is a measure of citations expressed relative to the size of the journal. Surely this tells us something about a journal, if only that it's attracting some articles that others in the field consider worth citing. It's reported, for example, in Paywall, The Business of Scholarship, that while Eugene Garfield never wavered in his dedication to and promotion of citation analysis, he did regret the misuse of the GIF. Nevertheless, which journal would not want to publish citable articles and to trim its tail of low or zero-cited articles? What other indication do we have that at least some of our articles have been read? If none of our articles have been read, what's the point in publishing a journal? As indicated above, except for a self-appointed cognoscenti to guide us in our travails, how else do we judge, however poorly, the quality of a journal? Moreover, the criteria for being included in the Clarivate listings and the more recent Emerging Sources Citation Index are rigorous and laudable. They include having a peer review system, adhering to international editorial standards, and having facility for acknowledgements. I think that these things are rarely given enough recognition. Clarivate listing is not the only rigorous system, but it does represent an international gold standard of entry-level quality, regardless of the GIF. Journal editors and publishers long stand accused of gaming the impact factor. Admittedly, we try to select and publish citable articles that are also sound. But overt gaming, such as exhorting authors to cite more articles from their journal, or excessively citing their own content, and free cite articles, ones that do not contribute to the denominator in the journal impact factor calculation, are monitored by Clarivate. Our first mission as editors of reputable journals in any field is to publish sound scholarship. We're delighted if that work is cited, and, admittedly, happy to see our impact factors, along with a range of other citation metrics, total citations, immediacy index, and half-life, improve. If management teams of Clarivate-listed journals stand accused of spending time in their deliberations on the issue of the GIF, then I plead guilty. We agonise over ways to increase our actual impact on scholarship, education and practice, but we also fail, repeatedly, to formulate any measure that's meaningful. If the regular and copious critics of the GIF devoted part of their energies to devise such metrics, then they would have an attentive audience. Academic publishers and editors are fully aware of the use and misuse of the GIF. I spend months annually in mainland China, where there's no greater obsession with, complete misunderstanding of, and abuse of the GIF. When publishing in English language journals, there's no recognition of journals that are not Clarivate listed. None. Having a GIF is not enough. Only journals with an impact factor exceeding 1 count at all. Master's students are obliged to publish in journals with a GIF over 2, and doctoral students in journals with a GIF over 3. Ridiculous. On the other hand, journals and publishers ignore these requirements at their peril. For those of us editing journals with GIF over 2, manuscripts from China represent our largest authorship. Acceptance rates tend to be lower than some other countries, and we devote considerable time to helping Chinese authors improve their writing skills to submit better studies and improve their acceptance rates. Simultaneously, while I cannot attest to what every editor is saying, I also try with senior university staff to point out how ridiculous their approach to the GIF is, to no apparent avail. Nevertheless, with things as they are in China, if we can attend to legitimate factors that will improve our journal impact factors, why ever would we not? Finally, Packer's assertion that meta-analysis is highly questionable would find little support in the scientific community. This assertion is made without specifying which aspects are questionable. But how else are we to summarise a field of evidence, given the age-old problem of regression to the mean? Do we leave this to the newspapers, who one day tell us that aspirin is killing us, and the next day it's the new wonder drug based on whatever the latest single piece of evidence tells us? Or do we leave the cognoscenti to read a series of articles, selected in any way they choose, and assessed in any way they please, and provide us with an answer? Most meta-analysis tells us that most things don't work, well, as well as we think they do. As such, it's a method that introduces an element of humility to the scientific community, which helps us obviate sensationalism and design bigger and better studies. These are early days for real-world evidence, and I'm insufficiently familiar with the method and the issues around it, so I will decline to comment.
This podcast was produced in association with youpublicationslimited.com.